The Lord be with you. As you may know, for the next 40 days, we are going to be studying love. We're studying love following Rick Warren's 40 Days of Love program. We have small groups that are meeting on Monday at 7 o'clock here at the church, and also Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the church. Come join us. I promise it's going to change your life. Because God has a lot to say about love. Now, last week, Pastor Jay kicked off our 40 Days of Love campaign by preaching about how God wants us to love others with the same kind of love that God loves us. Well, that's a pretty tall order, I know, because God is the best person in the entire universe at loving. But don't feel too worried, because we can better equip ourselves to be better lovers. And we can do that by learning what God says to us about love in the Bible. And there's no better way to learn about what God says to us in the Bible than by looking at the stories of how Jesus loved when he was on the earth. But no matter how much we learn about love, if we don't put it into practice, our knowledge is useless. If we're too busy to love God and to love others with intentionality and with effort, then busyness has blocked us from achieving the thing that God says should be the highest thing in our life. See, God wants us to love first and foremost above all things. Anything that keeps us from loving God and from loving others as our highest priority, it's not from God at all. In fact, I would say it's from the enemy. And there is nothing that accuser wants more than to keep people from giving and receiving God's love in their lives. A life that's robbed of love is one of the saddest things that I can think of. You may remember the famous song by the artist Harry Chapin called The Cat's in the Cradle. You've probably heard that song, right? It's a tragic song about a father who's too busy to spend time intentionally loving his son. And then when that father grows old, of course, the son is too busy to spend time loving his dad. One verse goes, "My son turned round the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I got a lot to do.' He said, 'That's okay.' And he walked away. But a smile never dimmed. He said, 'I'm going to be like him.' Yeah, I'm going to be like him." That song, by the way, The Cat's in the Cradle, is listed as one of WatchMojo.com's top 10 songs that will make you cry. See, it's sad. It's very sad how we sinful humans mess up loving relationships by spending our time, our energy, and our money on lesser things. And for those of us who joined our first small group session this past week, Rick Warren reminds us that there is nothing more important in our lives than relationships. And Jesus summed up all of God's commands, and there's a lot of them. Jesus summed them up in Mark 12, 29, and 31. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." See, we were created by God for relationships. We were created by God for relationships with other people and with God. And these relationships are only going to be good to the extent that they are loving relationships. And what I mean is loving in the same selfless and intentional way that God loves us. That's what I'm talking about. Now, none of us can build loving relationships if we're too busy to make time to love God and to love others with that selflessness and intentionality. This task of loving others is hard because it requires our time and attention. And in this day and age, time and attention are really in short supply. Our world is full of busyness and distraction, right? Screens are constantly spewing content and advertising at us, right? Our phones ding and chirp to get our attention every 10 seconds, it seems like. There are planes to catch. There are bills to pay, houses to maintain, groceries to buy. You get the idea. If that wasn't enough, there's always some disaster or some crisis somewhere or some cause that can create anxiety and distract our attention. See, God knows that the world can be a frightening and busy place. God knows this already. That's why God gives God's own self to us. In Psalm 46, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, through the waters foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I can't think of anything more frightfully distracting than mountains falling into the sea. Maybe you can, but that's pretty serious. It sounds like the psalmist is really expressing something deep here. Sounds like the psalmist has struggled with distractions and with fear and anxieties in the world around him. But at the conclusion of this psalm, that same person says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." See, God's own presence in our life is the antidote for the busyness we feel that we must have in our life to be productive and successful people. So if you want to fight back against the busyness that keeps you from loving God and loving others, the first step is to make some time and space in your life to be still and to be with God. It's impossible to love God without making dedicated time to meet with God. Now, meeting with God also requires calm, and it requires focus. And so multitasking during that time is not a good idea. Now, some people, for example, like to schedule time to be alone outside in nature and to be still and to listen and talk with God. Some people like to sit and read the Bible quietly and listen for what God is saying to them and express their concerns. Or some people even like to calm their minds by exercising or doing yoga or something that brings them into a place of focus and intention. See, you probably know this already, but you don't necessarily need to talk out loud to pray to God. Our God is a mind reader. Now, however you choose to intentionally meet with God, you must schedule a time in your day to do it. You have to. That's the sacrificial part that you do when you love God. See, busyness will tell you that you just don't have time. This just isn't true. It's just not true. Write a time in that works for you in your daily planner or in your online calendar, whatever you use to schedule your time. Even if you've never done this before, start doing it. It might feel weird to sit alone in a room with the Bible for 15 minutes a day. It might feel strange, but do it. See, as we intentionally spend time with God, God will give us more and more power through the Holy Spirit to combat that busyness in our life that keeps us from loving. And then we will want to meet with God even more. And the more we meet with God, the more God will fill us with God's love through the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist knew this as well. God is our refuge. See, making time, intentional time to be focused on God is how we can obey the first part of that greatest commandment that Jesus said, right? Which is love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Now the second part of the greatest commandment is to love others as we love ourselves. Well, busyness is the enemy of love of others, just like it's the enemy of our love for God. The second part of the greatest commandment requires another kind of a defense against busyness. See, the first defense was to schedule quiet time with God every day if you can. The second defense is to love others intentionally in your life. And I mean to intentionally love others with the same kind of selfless love that God has for each one of us. See, this particular lesson hasn't really changed since the earliest days after Jesus gave that greatest commandment. Scripture tells us that early Christians took Jesus' command to love others in this world very seriously. Paul even tells people to avoid getting married and possibly give up having a family so that they might intentionally be able to live their lives for God and for others. That's a pretty big sacrifice to make. Paul makes it clear in that scripture passage that we read from his first letter to the Corinthian church. Paul tells people who are unmarried to stay unmarried if they can. Paul says, "I'm saying this to you for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right and undivided way in devotion to the Lord." See, don't misunderstand this passage and think that it's talking about somehow you're not quite as good at being godly if you have a family. That's not the point. The main point here is that Jesus wants each of us to be extremely intentional in our lives about loving God and loving others. One way we can do this is by building time into our schedules to love people as opportunities arise. See, often God gives us many opportunities to love others throughout the day when we least expect it, and that are very distracting from the plans that we already had. If we're so rigid in planning that we plan out every single minute of our day to be scheduled and tasked, we might not have flexibility in our schedule to love others when the opportunity arises. Now, I'm not suggesting that we drop everything every time we come across somebody that has a need and crosses paths with us, because there are over 7 billion people on the earth, and we're in constant contact with a lot of them. That's a lot of people. There are only so many hours in the day, and we simply cannot take time to love intentionally everyone who crosses our path. But there is a technique we can use to be more available in our lives to intentionally love others. It's called building margins into our time. A doctor named Richard Swanson wrote a book called Margins about this very thing. The idea is that what you want to do is you want to build some unstructured time into your schedule so that you can adapt as opportunities arise. It's like planning for those little interruptions that God puts in our day. Now, how many times have you maybe wanted to reach out to somebody with a phone call, or send somebody a card, or go visit somebody, or lend a helping hand, but you just really felt like, you know, I can't do that right now, I just have too much stuff to do? Busyness and schedules really can keep us from loving others in practical ways. But creating a margin in our time, in our schedule, well, that can keep busyness from blocking our ability to love others as we love ourselves. For example, we might build in like 1 hour of margin time in the evening before we go to bed. Now, I'm not talking about that time that we watch TV and relax and hang out or read a book before we fall asleep. This scheduled time is scheduled in completely separate from that. See, that margin of 1 hour, that gives us that extra time we need maybe to love others if we're intentional about it. We could fill that hour with maybe sending a note to somebody or reaching out via phone call or FaceTime to somebody that we know that's hurting or that could use a boost, a pick-me-up, someone to know, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you, I love you. You know, maybe we're interrupted in our evening by a neighbor who's trying to get her snowblower going, and we hear it outside, and maybe we can go out there and help. You know, regardless, we have that extra hour, so we can still take these distractions and still get to bed on time. Another example might be, let's say we build in a margin of 30 minutes in a travel time during our day. Like, let's say you have to be at work at 7 a.m., Okay, and it takes you, even on a slow day, maybe 30 minutes to get from your house to work. Okay, so let's say building in a half an hour margin every day means that you leave for work every day at 7 a.m. to get there at 8. Well, that gives you 30 extra minutes. That gives you time. If you see somebody on the side of the road trying to change a tire, you could stop and lend a hand. In fact, you have an extra 30 minutes to handle any opportunity that comes up from the time you leave your door to the time you get to work. And God might throw all kinds of different ways in that time that you can love others intentionally. Imagine if the Father in that song, Cats in the Cradle, had scheduled an extra 30 minutes into each day to meet with God. Perhaps he would have been more intentional about spending time loving his son. Or imagine if that father in the same song had scheduled a margin of 30 minutes to love others each day into his schedule, right? Maybe his son would have picked up that same habit from his dad and come to see his old dad. Busyness is a tool that the enemy uses to keep us from loving God and loving others. That's because God wants us to love and to be loved as our highest goal. But we have two important defenses against busyness to help us to intentionally do that. First, we can schedule time in our day, quiet time, to meet with God. That's one thing we can do. And second, we can free up space in our lives to intentionally love others by scheduling in some margin time into our day-to-day life. See, our time with God will provide the refuge that we need to give us the opportunity to fill up with God's love, to be able to receive it and then give it back. And our willingness to build in that margin time into our schedule will make us available to intentionally love others when those opportunities arise. As we keep going through Lent, we're going to learn a lot more about love. And it's going to change our lives for the better. And if we can work at defeating the busyness in our lives, we will have plenty of opportunities to put this new knowledge into practice, to do what we learn about love. So as we keep journeying together, my prayer for us all is this. I pray that we will become better lovers in general, and that our lives will be enriched by that and will please God.